conciliar church decrying the crimes of communism. I want to keep this tradition in my own case so that I will not fail to remind you of this great horror which continues unabated over, they estimate now, nearly a billion people, those who are under the boot of communist masters. And there are more people than we realize, because we don't get much word of the situation in Africa these days. It is one of the great wonders of the modern world how the horror of communism is never or almost never mentioned by the liberals who are so anxious about justice and human rights. Compare, for instance, the moanings and the sighs of complaint and indignation that were to be heard through the media while the National Football League strike was going on. Compare that with the fact that the people of Eastern and Central Europe, most of Africa, and increasingly in South and Central America, in Cuba, and in other places, for instance, China, and increasingly in India, Mongolia, and countries about which we hear nothing. Communism continues to tighten its grip and to extend itself like some terrible glacier. And yet the bleeding hearts which control the media and the Jews refuse to acknowledge what is going on. They suggest that things are different from what they were formerly, which is totally false. Give you an example. This was written with respect to the recent pastoral letter that the American bishops produced with regard to the American nation either discontinuing the production of nuclear arms or the cutting back on the spending program totally on defense. So that I will not be misunderstood, let me say that there's no doubt that they could cut back on the spending for defense and still rearm this country. Anybody who knows how the Pentagon and other agencies of the government throw money away knows very well that they could do as well with half the money. But with regard to what is called or referred to as a nuclear freeze, this writer says that the bishops seem to be totally unaware of what communism is and what its purposes are, and the fact that the Soviet bloc continues to arm itself to the extent that it can get the money from its poor people and from, of course, Western governments. Consider the fact that religious oppression reached such proportions in East Germany during negotiations over a Salt Treaty that a Protestant minister named Oskar Brusewitz committed suicide by pouring gasoline over his body and making a human torch of himself in a desperate cry for help from Christians in the West. for the crime of being caught with a copy of the Chronicle of the Lithuanian Catholic Church, a young woman was sentenced by communists to a harsh regime concentration camp for putting a hymn called God Bless Latvia in a songbook used by those he led in worship. Pastor Hugo Grivens was sentenced to a forced labor camp where conditions were so terrible that the dead were used for dog meat. Perhaps the Catholic bishops have not heard the Pastor Richard Wurmbrand's report about conditions in communist Romania. Wurmbrand tells us of a pastor named Florescu who was tortured by the communists with knives and iron pokers heated until they glowed, was beaten constantly, and was shut in a cell with starving rats. The communists demanded that Florescu betray the Christians of his congregation, but he would not. Then they brought to his cell his only son, a youth of 14, and began to brutalize the boy. At last, the pastor could no longer endure the sight of his son being tortured and cried out, "Alexander, I must say what they want. I cannot bear this. I cannot watch them destroy you." The boy answered, "I will not have a traitor as my father. Withstand. If they kill me, I will die saying the words, 'Jesus and my fatherland.'" And then the communists, enraged, fell upon the boy and beat him to death. And as blood spattered over the walls of the cell, he died praising God. If any of you have an opportunity to read the bishop's silly pastoral concerning a nuclear freeze, pass it up. Or if you're going to read it, read some of the critiques that have been made by people with more sense and more awareness of what communism is. We, as Catholics, have to understand that communism, both as a system of thought and as a program of world domination, sees the Catholic Church as in its way, as an ideological obstacle as well as a concrete reality which must be destroyed. Communism is of its very nature atheistic and anti-Christian. It is anti-Christian, of course, because of its Jewish roots. It is totally bent on enslaving every human being on earth. And if anyone doubts that this is a fact, all he needs to do is trouble himself to find a little communist literature. Every year when the communists have their meetings, one speaker after another reminds them that this is the purpose of all their efforts, of all their subversion, of all their vast armies and their programs of terrorism, their schools of assassination. Always the purpose is to reduce the world to a socialist camp. And all the people of this world slave camp will fall into one of two classes, the people and the enemies of the people. And anyone who is not in the Communist Party is an enemy of the people and suspect of being a traitor and can at any time be called forth and sentenced as a traitor of the people. And your children should know that the word communism means the loss of all rights, including the right of life, the right of property, and the right to think and to know the truth. Communism forbids anyone to think thoughts contrary to what the state says is true, no matter if the state changes its line from year to year. The irony of this whole horror is that communism would never have expanded to its present strength without the taxes, and in many cases, the stupid contributions of free people. And the strongest supporter of communism from the year 1917 to this very day has been the United States government, followed by the countries of Western Europe. It's because of liberals and subversives in these governments and lying politicians who would give their mother and their father and all their children away for office. Because of such individuals as this, that the communist empire has continued to grow and to become more fierce and more avaricious and insatiable. Dan Smoot put it this way, our tax money has subsidized communist regimes which are sworn enemies of our nation. It has supported nations which, though not controlled by communists, are inimical to the United States and seething with hatred and resentment of Americans. Well, of course, the only reason why they are so full of hatred for Americans is that the communist propaganda machine and liberals have taught them to hate this country as their enemy. We have financed wars between nations which would not have had the capacity to fight each other without our help. And in the process, we have made the warring nations hate us because of the aid we give their enemies. Our foreign aid has financed social upheavals and communist socialist revolutions throughout Latin America and Africa, bringing to power political regimes whose policies are based on hatred of the United States. And I might insert, as you know, it is essential in the communist propagandistic effort that a constant hatred of the United States be encouraged and fueled for two reasons. One is so that the American socialist politicians can tax us to arm us against these prospective enemies and real enemies, and two, in order that they can gather money to send these people. Our aid has built and subsidized foreign industries which are now underselling American industries. And this includes, of course, communist governments where the people have no labor rights at all. The only right they have, of course, is to work until they are dead. The foreign giveaway programs have piled up our national debt, dissipated our monetary gold reserve, inflated our living costs, debased our currency. It is estimated by now that, counting the interest due on the money given, that due this country is over $500 billion, all of which will be paid not by foreign powers, but by generations of American taxpayers, if there is any money here to pay. All of this, as I say, and as you who are very informed know well, is a part of the whole communist scheme of things. In other words, the countries of the West walk in lockstep to communist programs and long-range objectives, even despite the change of administrations in this country and the change of labels and the change of people in the Congress and the Senate. The great wonder of it all is that people are so stupid about it and will not listen to it, do not want to hear it. They will even endure the obscenity of having these communist murderers come over and lecture in this country at our expense, on our soil, in the United Nations, lecture us about human rights and justice and how we're supposed to treat Negroes and other so-called minority groups. Of course, if we were to begin or to try to finish talking about the anachronisms and the contradictions and the sheer foolishness that passes for political policy nowadays, we would never end. We're not talking politics, we're talking about the most horrible injustices and communism, which is the most terrible and incredible scourge the world has ever known, which has piled up some 100 million bodies of dead people who stood in its way, and which now throughout its empire imprisons probably 50 to 70 million people. In China, they grind up the corpses of their victims and feed them to chickens. And in Africa, they make a sport of murdering people in the most savage ways possible. And anybody who knows what has happened to Southeast Asia, it is a wonder that he is able to laugh, because the story is so horrible, and always the lines go in two directions, one into Soviet Russia and one into United States of America. The money on the one hand and the vicious Marxist-Leninist policies on the other. So what do I say all this for? In order to remind you that it is a fact. And anyone who forgets it, it's a fact, has no charity. All of us should have a place in our hearts, in our prayers, and in our constant recollection of the fact that these most terrible injustices continue unabated, year in, year out. People in Siberia in clothes hardly heavier than pajamas, digging coal in mines with hardly more than knives and forks and spoons. So we must remember these poor victims. Many of them are Catholic brothers and sisters in our prayers, and we must not think that this is enough. We are supposed to try to expose communism for what it is. It is a known fact, known by all of our elected officials and by the president, that the communist KGB operates freely throughout this country, especially in New York and Washington, freely. It is known that communists, and I should say Chinese communists and other ambassadors, come into the United Nations loaded down with narcotics to be sold to American citizens. And they are untouchable because they are given diplomatic immunity. And the story goes on and on and on. But as I say, we have to be informed and aware, and we have to fight against it. Never, I urge you, hesitate if you are minded to write a letter to your self-serving politicians. Never hesitate if you get a chance to write the paper, if they will print your letter. Never pass up an opportunity to talk about it. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.